Just like an annual checkup is important for maintaining good health, performing regular financial checkups is an essential part of planning for a healthy retirement. So let's talk about your financial wellness checkup this week on the podcast.
Welcome to the Strategic Planning Podcast with financial coach Mike Flanders. With more than 40 years of experience in the financial services industry, Mike knows the X's and O's that'll help you achieve your financial goals. It's time for the Strategic Planning Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome in the Strategic Planning Podcast with Mike Flanders. He's going to talk with me about your financial wellness and checkup. While Mike is not a doctor, he gets to play a financial doctor this week on the show. So we'll have fun kind of tying this back into the health side of life with the finances as well. And, you know, it looks different for everybody, just like going to your doctor. So maybe pay attention to this episode and see if there's a few nuggets that help you out along the way. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing well. And thinking about this and all the doctor checkups that, you know, my in-laws and outlaws and all
what we all do now, right?
All families having, you know, there's a lot of that going on with the doctors. And yeah, you know, we tend to get so tied up with all these different appointments and stuff that we forget to look at our financial side of things. And I think it's a good thing to do periodically.
You know, I mean, I would certainly be in the camp of arguing with people who say, hey, we've probably started to develop our society in a way that we're a little too reliant, or we spend a little too much time at doctors. It's obviously such a big, giant business and things that, but you know, if you feel bad, you feel bad. But sometimes I think that there's enough stuff out there that kind of maybe convinces us we feel worse than we do, or instead of just trying to do things naturally or holistically, we're like, oh, let me go see the doctor and get a pill. Not always the best thing, but when it comes to just getting the checkup to find out what you might need, certainly nothing wrong with going and saying, hey, or also you could make the old joke, hey doc, it hurts when I do this. And the doctor says, well, then don't do that.
Right? Don't do it.
but let's talk about your financial checkup. You know, we want to review goals, Mike, right? I mean, that's the importance of coming in. You want to review goals, determine goals, define goals, track the progress, make adjustments. So those are going to be kind of the key points. So let's kick it off with get a little check. What happens when you go see the doc, right? The nurse takes you back. She hooks you up, does a little vital sign check, right? Gives you the little blood pressure cuff and, you know, a little weigh scale and all that kind of stuff. So that's probably kind of like the income and the outcome of your finances, right? The budgeting and the spending, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the hardest things, I think, for people to do. I mean, I know when I go to the doc and they say, okay, step on the scale. I say, with both feet or can I just do one?
Yeah. You know, you only want one weight. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. So, you know, you don't want to. When you think about your budget and spending, that's a touchy area for some people. They don't want to think about it because they've got enough money to kind of do what they want to do, and they don't really kind of have to worry too much about it, so to speak. But if you don't have a handle on it, you can get to retirement and suddenly find out, I need to have a handle. And that's not a good time to find that out.
And not a love handle either. We all have those too.
Yeah, right. speaking of scales. But anyway... so you definitely want to do that. And we have a little tool to help people do it. And you know, the thing I think that's so tough about that for most folks is that everything isn't the same dollar amount each month. I mean, you know, there are some things that are like, you know, maybe your phone bill or your trash bill or, you know, whatever those things are. But electricity changes, gas, heat, things like that change, the amount of fuel you use, how much you ate out, how much you bought groceries for, all those things change. And that kind of can be disturbing for people to try and figure out, okay, so what are we really spending? There's an easy way to go through and do that. And it's simply just don't do it all the time because that will drive you crazy and you spend all your time just working a budget. Set a time that is at good intervals for you. For me, it's quarterly. Once a quarter, at the end of each quarter, I pull out all the bank statements and all the credit card just one credit card statement, whatever, and just put all those expenses on a spreadsheet and I go through and categorize them and see how it compares to what I had said I wanted to spend in each of those categories for the previous, at the beginning of the quarter, for the upcoming quarter. And then, you know, make adjustments like that. Some people would say, well, man, you might overspend a certain category. Yeah, I might. But then I can make a concerted effort the next quarter to try and adjust that. That's how it works for me. I don't have time. I don't have the patience to sit down weekly and do that kind of thing. So that's how I do it quarterly. Everybody's different. Find something that works for you to go through and see, what am I actually spending? You would not believe how many times somebody comes in for the first time and I ask them, what would you need if you were retiring today to live on, you know, and you're going to continue to live like you're living now? Have no idea. And sometimes they'll throw out a number. And then when we actually go through the exercise and figure out what they are spending, it's like half of what they're really spending. You know, it's kind of crazy. Some of those, sometimes it's like,
and that happens with a lot of people. So don't beat yourself up if you're one. You just need to get a handle on it. So, and that's
exactly,
And that's where that budgeting and spending comes in. And I know I just said the B word again and all that junk, but it's like, look, spending, you still got to have a general idea. I mean, you've done that any other time in your life. I don't understand sometimes why retirees get so bent out of shape about the budget word, because it's like when you were raising your family, or when you were single in your 20s and then you got married. I mean, you've had a budget pretty much your whole life. It's not like you knew that you were making let's say $5,000 a week, or excuse me, or a month. Or that's great too, $5,000 a week, but $5,000 a month, and you were spending $10,000 a month. I mean, you're not the federal government, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've always spent time in your life dealing with a budget. Retirement is still going to be the same. The difference is not feeling like you have to live and worry about the budget, because you've got a good strategy that allows you to spend it and enjoy it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
It makes total sense.
All right, Doc. Well, how about building our financial immunity, right? So when we go see the doctor and stuff, they're giving us shots or, you know, whatever, right? So they're kind of making sure that we've got a good immune system. So what's that for the financial on the back end? Is that more kind of like that liquid money, some of that emergency type stuff?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I'll have people come in, they don't have that, and they just say, oh, I've got a credit card. If I run into something, I just put it on the card and then I'll pay it off later. And so we start working on that sort of thing and kind of emphasize the peace of mind and the comfort that comes from having actual cash versus just thinking, oh, I'll just go into debt if I have an emergency or have something come up that's unexpected. And if people will start doing that and building that fund, it's not like you got to put it aside right now. I mean, save it over several months, over several years, whatever, to get to that target. And it changes a lot when you have that sort of thing put aside, as far as the way you look at saving, investing, spending. Just you've got something worth taking care of. Now, the other side of the coin is people come, they have it, and they don't want to use it. You know, they have an emergency come up and say, oh, I hate to dip into my savings, you know, that kind of thing. That's what it's there for. And then you just do what you did in the first place to build it up to where it was, so that you had it when you needed it, is you start putting money aside again. And in fact, what I encourage people to do is don't ever stop putting it aside. I put money into my emergency fund every single month. And if it just gets up over too much, then what do? I just shift it over to an investment account and keep it invested. So, you know, it's a good habit to have, and you having it gives you a lot of freedom and comfort.
Exactly. Freedom and comfort. I like those two. Those are certainly very important.
Yes.
Let's get a health screening, right? So good idea. It's a good idea to get a health screening. Why not get a portfolio screening? Run through that investment strategy and make sure you got them ducks in a row.
Yeah. You know, as people age, a lot of times they think that they probably need to adjust their amount of risk they're taking. You know, like for instance, the percentage of stocks they have in their portfolio versus the percentage of bonds. And, you know, there's all kinds of rules of thumb out there that make you feel like you ought to do that. But, you know, maybe sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I've recently had someone who has had a very conservative approach with a large amount of bonds in their portfolio that, you know, we decided, you know, this does need to be a little more aggressive. So we bumped up the stock portion and dropped the bond portion just a little bit. We didn't go hog wild and totally flip the calculus,
right?
But you know, did just adjust a little bit to and you know, some of that happens with different events that occur, and you see how markets affect your allocation. For instance, 2022, we had inflation pick up, interest rates pick up, the market had a bad year. And so what did that do? Well, because of the interest increase in inflation, it made your bonds go down in value. Yeah, earning on new issued bonds went up, but your existing bonds, the value went down. And people that are heavy in bonds said, wait, I thought this was supposed to be conservative. We don't lose any money in that kind of situation, right? But in that scenario, you did, and it was kind of like the double whammy where you had both the market going down because of like the Ukraine war starting and all kinds of stuff that affected that. So you'll have those line up periodically, and you want to think in terms of, well, how do we adjust for that sort of thing? Well, one thing you do is you don't think in terms of, well, this is 1 year, is my whole life in my allocation. No, it's just 1 year. It's just one time period. And you let the market do what it's going to do, and it will pick back up at some point and yep. return what you got and or what you, quote, lost or what you had decline in value and pick it back up. And if you're rebalancing on the low points and all that sort of thing, that gives you an opportunity to buy things on sale. So there's always reasons to be looking at that allocation to make sure, is my strategy in tune with what I'm comfortable with and what I need to be doing in order to get to my goals that we talked about first, that you need to have set and know where you're going.
Great point, Mike.
Or tracking your progress.
Yeah, no, really great point. And many times for my next point, which is debt diagnosis, people will take more risk in that prior one, in that investment strategy, because they think, I've got to get rid of this debt before I get to retirement. And I get it. You know, there's lots of schools of thought on debt. And certainly you're going to could be in a better shape, probably would be in better shape if you didn't have debt. But don't let it just be the thing that manages, you know, don't let the cart drive the horse, so to speak. Make sure that right. the strategy overall, you know, works well for you, and definitely try to manage that debt down. But it's certainly an important piece, too. You know, there's obviously Dave Ramsey, who's like, you know, all mm-hmm. debt is bad. And Dave's done a great job with helping a lot of people in that. But I think don't freak out either if you have some debt, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so you got it, right? So what? I don't know what good freaking out does.
Right.
Yeah, right? It just delays to getting busy on doing something about it. So maybe the freak out is, I'm going to get serious. I'm going to, you know, freak out about getting serious here. And so, you know, you just, again, it goes back to making a plan that fits in with where you're at in like the income that you've got and the job you're doing, what you can add in, take out, so forth. And sometimes, yeah, maybe sometimes there's some refinancing or shifting some things around. But the main thing is get it all down on paper or, you know, in a spreadsheet or whatever. So you know what you've got. You've got it all there. And then you can make a plan to, you know, how am I going to attack this? And go at maybe the higher interest rate things first or the smaller amounts first. There are different reasons for different ways of going at things, and that's going to vary with each situation. But, you know, again, focusing on that, and so what it may mean is that right now you maybe you're putting 10% of your earnings into your 401k. Great, but you're spending that money still out of your paycheck out here and building up credit card debt. Well, that is not good debt. And so you want to get rid of that. So what do? You reduce the amount you put in your 401k if you have to. Now, the first thing you do is you look at your expenses and you say, what am I spending money on that I don't really have to spend money on? What can I get rid of there? And I've told the story about us getting out of like $600,000 of debt after a company we were helping go public failed. Mm-hmm. And having made stupid decisions about investing there to help them. And, you know, what did we do? We cut off TVs. That was one of the best things we could have done. Stop subscriptions.
That actually helps with just other things in life.
It does, man. I tell you what. I mean, hey, it's even good for your social life, because like when the Final Four comes on, you don't have cable. Guess what? You go over to your friend's house and you enjoy some time with them, you know?
You know, Mike, there's something to be said for that too, my friend. And I think people are waking up to more of that. It's so weird, right? When we're in our 20s, like I used to watch a ton of TV in my 20s and 30s mm-hmm. and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And as you get older, you think it's the other way around. It's like, I'm watching more TV now because I'm more, you know, sitting around. But it's like, it doesn't have my interest as much anymore.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Yeah. It is passe. That's
great,
for sure.
Great points, man.
So, yeah, you know, so you go through these things and you cut expenses. And then if you have to cut back on what you put in the 401k so you can pay off the debt, guess what? You can go, rather than 10% next time, you put 15% because you've changed your lifestyle. You've changed the way you spend money and you've seen the benefit of it. And again, created that freedom from this staggering debt that you might have or whatever. It may not be so staggering, but, you know, getting out of it.
Sure.
It gives you a lot of
flexibility. It can feel it. No matter if you owe, you know, $10,000 or $110,000, it can still feel staggering to different people.
Exactly. And, you know, you get those the bill in each month and you look at how much of my payment that I just made last month, if you make a minimum payment, went to interest only and there's no change in the debt outstanding. That is disturbing. Yeah. And I don't care what, it's stressful. You can say it doesn't bother you. Yes, it does.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it does. Well, okay, let's go to our next piece, Mike. So let's be proactive, right? So preventative measures, your doctor gives you preventative measures for health. They're always saying to just about everybody, I swear, I think even if you were skinny as a rail, they'd probably say, you need to lose some weight. It seems like that's the, maybe it's just me, but that's the comment I hear all the time, which granted he's right, but still.
You're just going to skinny doctors. You need to go to some fat doctors.
There you go. But preventative measures, well, that's proactive planning.
Yes, it is. And, you know, so it's not that you got to go out and buy a bunch of insurance and all that kind of stuff. Although in some insurance can be a part of the solution there. It goes back to what are your plans? What's your situation with housing, with health insurance, with health, your health condition, those kinds of things. And you know, nobody knows the future. You don't know what you're going to face, whether it's going to be an easy life of healthcare or one that's intense. And so you plan for the worst, so to speak. And then, you know, you live in a way that hopefully avoids it. And it may mean buying some long-term care insurance. It might mean how you own some assets to be able to utilize equity in your home for long-term care needs, all kind of things that you can do. Again, it just goes back to your initial comments, Mark, about having defined retirement goals, tracking your progress, and making the adjustments you need to make along the way to be able to stay on track. Those are important things to consider, too. You don't just say, ooh, hey, I'm 65. I got to do something about Medicare here and figure out what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's a good point, right? You got to be proactive with tax planning, too, people.
Oh, yeah.
Super, yeah, super sure. Big piece of how you make this whole plan drive and work and go. So make sure you're having those conversations with your financial professional as well. If you're not working with somebody who, if they're not bringing up certain pieces of retirement to you, like Social Security or like legacy or like taxation, then maybe you're not working with the right person, because these are all pieces that are going to factor heavily into your strategy. So
yeah, they really are.
Mike, any final things to wrap up with? Insurance, right? I guess we could touch on that real quick. You know, look, some people feel like they don't need insurance as they age. Other people feel like they do. But, you know, there could be a product within an insurance company that really does exactly what you need it to do. So it's worth, if nothing else, at least a good review of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that people in different areas of the financial world, they have, you know, emphasis they want to put on different things, you know, the insurance, the investment, the estate planning, you know, what have you, education planning. A good, well-rounded plan is going to take all that into consideration and try and balance it so that you're not spending too much money in one area trying to accomplish something that this really then hurts you in another area. So, yeah, if we've got things that we can use to do double duty, let's do it. And don't over-insure, but don't under-insure. I mean, insurance is to take care of things that you don't have the money for right now. And so plan in such a way that you can eliminate the need for some of those insurance type things, but then think in terms of what's not going to get eliminated long term. Like, for instance, disability insurance is not going to be necessary for your entire life, because you probably won't work your entire life. At least you're on your deathbed, you won't. Okay. That's what you're trying to do, is to work as long as you can, like we were talking about last time. But, yeah, you know, just good planning. I mean, I can get into so much granularity there, but it is. It's a matter of making common sense decisions about your planning to cover the things that you need to cover while you need to cover them, and not worry about them when you don't need to.
All right. So a follow-up strategy is always in place with the doc as well. So let's just finish it with that, Mike. You know, have a plan, but also follow up and go through those strategy planning sessions with your advisor. That's the point of doing, you know, the reviews and the check-ins and all that kind of stuff, so that you can stay on track.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you want to do that periodically. I mean, is it annually? Is it every couple of years or whatever? You know, what have you? Check in. Even if it's not to have a sit down, check in with your advisor and ask them, you know, once a year at least, you know, is there anything that I need to be thinking about? Because, you know, there's stuff that changes in your life, and there's new tax laws that come along and new things that affect social aspects of life. check in. I mean, we try and keep people up to date with newsletters and with the podcasts and workshops and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you don't read those, attend those, listen to those, you need to check in and see, because it gives you a chance to make sure that you're not missing any opportunities.
Exactly. All right, folks. Well, thanks for hanging out with us here on the Financial Checkup, the Wellness Checkup, if you will, with Mike Flanders. As always, if you need some help, get strategic in your plan by talking to Mike at Strategic Planning. Reach out to him. Find him online at spcinvesting.com if you're not already working with him. Share the podcast with others who might benefit from the message and need to talk with somebody who can help them out. It's a great way for them to learn more about Mike and what he does and his personality and his approach and things of that nature. Find all the information at spcinvesting.com. That's spcinvesting.com. Mike, thanks for hanging out, my friend.
It's been great. Thank you, Mark, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You as well, and we will see you next time here on Strategic Planning. Hit that subscribe or heart button or whatever it is on whatever podcasting app you like, and that way you catch future episodes. We'll see you next time right here on the show.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.